Part 1. Chapter 1. His ugly scent still hangs in the air, even after he's long gone. It's all over my skin, reminding me of what just happened. I want to cry and have a shower, but the first won't do any good, and the second is forbidden. It's still 2 more days until I'm allowed my next shower. I pull my blanket closer, but then throw it away when its touch reminds me of the marks he's left on me. It's too rough, just like his hands. I breathe in deep through my mouth, but can't stop a bit of his scent getting trapped in my nose. His breath always reminds me of something rotten, something so dead inside that it's almost impossible to hide. But he hides it well. To the others, he's a holy man, a prophet. To me, he's the devil. At least he'll be busy until later today. Time for me to prepare for his next beating. It's one of those days when he's angry and needs someone to let out his frustrations on. He told me once that with every mark on my skin, his anger gets less. It's a sign for him that he's working on it. That's what he sees it as, dealing with his problems. I'm the canvas to paint his anger onto. A few more hours until he's back. It's harder knowing what's to come than when it's one of his impulsive attacks. Those I can usually avoid by staying in the company of the other women. He doesn't do it in front of people. He's their leader. He needs to show how he's the perfect person. The chosen one. The prophet. The king. Inside, though, he's rotten to the core. Nothing royal in there. Just hate and violence and anger and pride. All the sins he preaches against are somewhere in him. Maybe that's why he's so passionate about eradicating them. If everybody else is without sin, maybe he will be, too. I wish he'd allow us some cream to put on the bruises, but that's forbidden. When I first moved here, I thought it was a good thing that cosmetics are banned in the compound. Now, I see it differently. If he puts bruises on me, he should give me something to treat them. He always makes sure that the bruises stay below the neckline. I'm not allowed to wear revealing shirts anyway. None of us are. Our simple uniform includes a long-sleeved blouse and a skirt that reaches our ankles. Together with our shorn heads, we're hard to tell apart. That's how it's supposed to be. We're all one family, one community, where nobody is better than the others. Except for Andros, of course. 20 women, all thin as sticks, heads bowed, quiet and demure. But still, I'm different, even though I don't want to be. I'm wearing a golden circlet on my shaved head, telling everyone that I'm the prophet's wife. His princess. He's the king, but he is so far above us all that it would be silly to call me his queen. No, I'm the princess, and that keeps me apart from the other women in the compound. Only at dawn and dusk, when we recite the words of our community, we're all the same. When the fog hangs deep in the valley, we assemble in the clearing in the center of the village and chant together. Discipline leads to redemption. Suffering brings peace. Obedience inspires happiness. Pain is salvation. The angel is our shield and our refuge. It's the mantra I hear every day. I say it every day. And once, I believed it. Maybe I still do. Back then, I said those words with fervor and passion. But that all changed long ago, and now, it's empty words for me. I say them because it's expected of me. Because I will be punished if I don't. As the princess, I need to be an example, both in good deeds and in my punishments. My husband likes to show everyone how women should be treated. The bruises stay beneath my clothes, but there are other ways to punish and humiliate. Andros knows every single one of them. I once admired him for his intelligence and creativity,